Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby.
Here's a mistake and a throw. Puck by Richard. He scores. A taser from Jonathan Toews. His first.
Hello there, hockey fans, and how are you doing today? It's Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show, Season 6, Episode 23, an episode we are going to call the Nystrom, as in Knuckles Nystrom, Bobby Nystrom, the sweetest sensation from Hinton, Alberta. We'll be talking about him in a little bit. He wore number 23 for the Islanders, famously, you know, back in their cup days of the early 80s. We've got some other topics to discuss, some Talkin' Hockey hot topics. It's co-host Tom here with you. I'm with, as always, co-host Jared. And Jared, how are you doing today, being Monday, April the 8th,
Tom, I am feeling fantastic. I had a wonderful weekend outside working, enjoying that spring weather, which seems to be here for good.
Yeah,
who knows?
It does really actually seem to be here for real. You know what? Went to the Jets and Flames game last week last Thursday. Beautiful night, beautiful day. And my friend that I went with, he says, playoff weather. And I said, it is. It feels like playoff weather. It's I hope.
The local sports team went and clinched their spot.
They did. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So we'll get into some local sports team talk in a bit. But yeah, we got to talk about a bunch of stuff today. It's, the funding drive for UMFM is approaching. Mm-hmm. So we've got some, some items to discuss there.
Mm-hmm.
And, fantasy hockey playoffs are in their finals now. Starting this week.
Are you still in the mix?
We'll let you know how that's going.
Okay, good.
Oh, it's a sore spot. That's
well,
all right.
What are you going to do?
And, but I think to kick it off here, what we got to do is talk about Bob Nystrom, a guy who is, born in Stockholm, Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
His real name is Thor, which is awesome.
I wish my real name was Thor.
Yeah. I did know a guy growing
really?
Up who was a Thor. Yeah. Yeah. And I know a dog named Thor. So
it's
got a couple Thors in my life.
There you go.
Bob Nystrom, he moved to Alberta when he was 4. So he's Canadian
for the most part. Swedish
Canadian.
Sure.
Yeah. And so, he played his minor hockey up in northern Alberta, and immortalized in the Hinton, Alberta Wall of Fame.
Who else is from Hinton, Alberta? Dave Scatcherd.
Yeah.
Dean McCammond.
I'm trying to remember who Dave Scatcherd is.
I don't know.
It's a name that kind of rings a bell.
It's a great name is what it is.
Yeah. But Bob, this is where, the reason we're choosing number 23, Bob Nystrom, there's a lot of 23s we could have gone with.
Sure.
In the past, we have gone with Bellows.
Bob Gainey.
Gainey. Yeah.
Last year was Dustin Brown.
Dustin Brown, yeah.
Yeah. Who were some of the, talking about Marty Jelena, Eddie Shack.
Jelena's a 23, Eddie Shack. Yeah, there's a lot of 23s we could have gone with. Good number. Michael Jordan. Oh, he doesn't play hockey.
He doesn't play hockey.
But the reason, plain and simple, I'll be upfront with you listeners that we're going with Bob Nystrom. I mean, the flow on this guy, and he was a no-helmet guy, played in that era, right? He finished up, he retired in the 86.
Yeah.
and but he was a no helmet guy, and the flow, and for large parts of his career, the mustache
are just unreal. It is a combo that is almost unsurpassed. The first photo that you sent me, you're like, well, we have to pick Bob Nystrom just based on this photo alone. The like wind blowing through the mane.
Never seen video of him playing. Well, maybe that's not true. I think I probably have like watched some early 80s Islanders Stanley Cup kind of clips and stuff. But, you know, based on the photos, the hair, like I feel like he's a fast skater just because of his hair flowing in the breeze, right?
So here's the thing. You judging by that photo, and like I was saying, I dream of having a head of hair like that. Like the things that I could do if I had a head of hair like that, man. So it looks like he's moving really fast, but skating was not Bob Nystrom's forte. And in fact, when he came into the league, he was a physical guy. He could he could chuck the knuckles, right?
Probably how he got that nickname, I guess.
Yeah, but he throughout the sort of early part of his career, he took power skating classes from a woman named Laura Stamm, who is the power skating guru. There was like a whole.
I thought
sort
you were going to say Dragon Lady.
The Dragon Lady. No. Well, so without Laura Stamm, there is no Dragon Lady. But Laura Stamm, like there was franchises across the country of Laura Stamm power skating schools. Okay. And he became a pretty good skater because he took power skating lessons. So. Let that be a lesson out there to you kids who can't skate really well, like your old pal co-host Jared. get out there and take some power skating.
And you know, like you hear this knock on NHL players sometimes or prospects is like, his skating isn't great. You know, we hear that about Cole Perfetti. You heard it about Mark Stone. You know, there's a lot of guys out there, and they go on. They just, you know, they have other attributes or assets that make them valuable NHL players. And so, if Bob Nystrom wasn't the best skater, physical guy, and you get where you need to be. I mean, I wouldn't have called Jaromir Jagr a great skater, but I mean,
he seemed good to luck do
knock,
he seemed
knocking
to do
him off the puck. He's,
he seemed to do okay for himself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
Nystrom, he played the entirety of his career with the New York Islanders at a time when the New York Islanders were kind of one of the best teams in the game, if not the best team in the game for like at least a 4 or 5 year period because they won 4 Stanley Cups.
4 cups in a row.
Yeah. And there was a lot of beauties on that team.
Here's a quick side note. Are there any other teams that won 4 in a row? I mean,
Edmonton.
I assume Montreal did.
Edmonton
in the '70s.
Did Edmonton
though, or did they win 3 in a row and then another couple?
Because they knocked off the Islanders. They got beat the first. I think the last year of the Islanders sort of cup runs. And
yeah,
then
that was when Edmonton was on their up, upswing.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, side note there, just something to chew on for the fans, for the listeners. You know, let us know. Reach out, Talking Hockey Pod on Instagram. Stop us on the street if you see us. That
yeah,
kind of thing.
Exactly.
We don't have a 1-800 number to call yet.
Lots of beauties on this team, though. Lots of real, like gritty. Guys, obviously Mike Bossy was here, Brian Trotche was here, but then there was guys like John Tinelli and Clark Gillies and Winnipeg's own Butch Goring, couple of Sutter brothers, Brent and Dwayne, and lots of characters.
He was drafted by the Islanders, and that was in the third round, so 33rd overall. So you do the math, was there 10, 11 teams, 12 teams, or whatever it would have been? Anyway, drafted in 1972.
Yes.
And his first season was 72-73. He got 11 games in as a 20-year-old, but his first, you know, real season was the following one. He played 71 games. He never, you know, won any personal awards.
Nope.
But he was a, you know, four-time Stanley Cup winner. I think that probably is good enough for awards. But he retired at the age of 33.
Yep. Little early.
Yeah, injuries, I'm going to go ahead and say without, you know, having...
He got clipped with a stick
to the eye.
In the eye, in practice, and suffered two tears of the retina. Cost him his eye, and so he didn't play anymore that year, but he stepped behind the bench. So he went directly from like playing the first portion of the year, he gets hurt, and then he's an assistant coach for the remainder of the season. And at that time he was sitting on 899 games.
It's
such a great story, right? And so
Al Arbor, legendary American coach, kind of did Bob a solid. Because, sitting at 899 games. And he's got this, you know, eye
thing
issue, if you will. So Arbor says, hey, let's make it an even 900. You want to suit up? So final game of the season for the Islanders. Takes the opening face off, skates around for 5 seconds, hops over the boards.
People go nuts because they loved him. They called him Mr. Islander.
You play 900 games for one team. I think that's probably a fair
assessment. Sure,
reason to call you Mister.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So he went on. He was an assistant coach for the next 2 years. Then he was one of the radio guys. Then he went up into like the corporate side. He was corporate affairs, director of special projects, director of community relations, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They retired his number, 23, on April 1st, 1995.
Yeah, so that's at the old
Nassau
Coliseum,
Nassau County Coliseum.
Yeah. And so the Islanders got that brand new barn, UBS Arena, just right on the border of Queens and Long Island, I guess, whatever county that is. I guess it's Nassau County.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine they would have that 23 proudly floating from the rafters there.
Mm-hmm.
By all accounts, that is a beautiful rink, that new one.
Yeah.
So
looks good on TV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot better than it did when they were playing at the Brooklyn Nets place that was all weird and off center and dimly lit or whatever it was.
That rink is kind of terrible for basketball as well. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of seeing stuff on TV, totally unrelated to Nystrom and the Islanders, but. There was a game on this past week. Vegas was in Arizona to play the Yotes at Moulet Arena. And
I like how you're.
It was actually like, I didn't watch much of it because I just. Here's my point. I can't watch games televised from that rink. It looks awful.
Yeah. Well, you know why? Because it's
the junior rink.
It's a rink that, would be used for Manitoba junior games.
Yeah, it just like, you know what? They wouldn't even host the World Juniors at that rink. You know what I mean?
No,
not that Arizona is going to be awarded the World Juniors anytime soon, but
I would hope not.
Anyway, I find that the angle and the lighting just awful. Anyway,
it wasn't built for stuff being televised, right? Like,
no.
They built that rink and they're like, hey, no.
Televised on the ASU web stream or whatever.
Yeah. No, they built that rink and they're like, nobody's ever coming here. Nobody's ever going to watch this on TV. Nobody even knows.
Anyway,
let's give you the Bob Nystrom rundown here.
We're getting sidetracked with that. I want to just give the listeners the career numbers for old Bobby Knuckles Nystrom. Thor, as he's also known as. 900 career games, 235 goals, 278 assists, 513 points, career total penalty minutes, 1,248. That's regular season. Playoffs, you can add another 157 games and 83 points. And, yeah, in those sort of four cup run seasons, you know, his best point output or totals there was in the first one, 20 games and 9 goals, 9 assists, 18 points. So he was like one of those solid contributing players to the Islanders runs during that time. We do have a special treat as far as music goes today on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to play some like covers, interesting covers.
Mm-hmm.
So let's, with a nod to Bob's homeland, no, not Hinton, Alberta, Stockholm, Sweden, we'll play some Cardigans, because they did a great cover of Iron Man.
Yes.
One time, Black Sabbath's song. So, yeah, I guess without any further ado, here's Iron Man by the Cardigans on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show. That was the Cardigans, straight out of Sweden, with their little tune, Iron Man. I guess it's a Black Sabbath tune, but the Cardigans covered it. And yeah, we're going to be playing a couple more cover tunes later in the show as well. So that was a nod to Nystrom's home country. But in a nod to an Iron Man streak, I think everybody... most hockey fans would be able to tell you who has the Iron Man record.
Mm-hmm.
That is Phil Kessel. And he just attained it, what, last year? Or was it? Yeah, it must have been last year, because he hasn't played this year, has he?
Yeah. For the longest time, it was always Doug Jarvis, right? Doug mm-hmm. Jarvis was the Iron Man. And then I think that after that, was it Keith Yandel took it over?
Yandel had one for a long time there, yeah.
And then Kessel has passed. Well, he set the record, and then didn't he get like sat down then like the very next game or something?
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
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 So currently it's Brent Burns. And yeah. I didn't realize that he had played that many in a row.
No, me neither. Not at all. And he's over twice or about, you know, double the amount of the next closest guy, which is Ryan Suter.
Right.
And I mean, both of those guys are, I don't know, a little bit on the tail end of their careers, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they
mm-hmm.
still got some gas left in the tank, obviously. But, and then after Suter is Nick Suzuki. And so he's, you know, a young guy with, you know, knock on wood, barring any injuries or anything, you know, maybe he'll give, a run for the money as far as the Iron Man streak goes. But yeah, Brent Burns, 839 games is the current streak, began November 21st, 2013.
Yep.
Still going.
Still
it's
going.
It's impressive. Super impressive. It's interesting looking at the active players Iron Man streak, you know, page. You get guys like Mo Sider of the Detroit Red Wings on their 241 games. So I guess that's like since he came into the league, he's not missed a game.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting, right? Like,
the guys,
Mercer.
Yeah, I was gonna say Sider and Mercer are both. Yeah. Are both pretty young dudes.
Yeah, I think they came in the league
same time. Yeah.
And they're still going, obviously, but like haven't missed a game yet, which is cool to see. But yeah, leading the pack, Brent Burns, 839 consecutive games played, which brings us to the Carolina Hurricanes, which are a favorite of many NHL
pundits,
mouthpieces.
Yeah. Not a favorite of, if I remember correctly, not a favorite of co-host Tom's.
I don't think these guys got the juice. I can acknowledge that they're a good team.
Sure.
But not a favorite of mine, and I do hope that they, you know, get knocked out at the earliest convenience. But you know, they picked up Jake Guentzel at the deadline, and he's been superb for them, you know. Mm-hmm. I think kind of leading all deadline acquisitions in scoring for their new team, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, no surprise there. Jake Guentzel's a very good hockey player. But they still do have a bit of a question mark in goal, whether or not they go with the youngster Kochetkov or they go with the old vet, Freddie Anderson. And then they got the other guy, Ranta, which, I mean, you know, any way you slice it, I don't think goaltending's their strong point. So.
But see, this has kind of been the thing that's plagued Carolina pretty much since they made that cup run against the Oilers, right? Who's their goaltender then?
Cam Ward was back,
right?
And he was good for a long time. Yeah, that was his rookie season.
Yeah,
he won the cup in his rookie season.
And so ever since Cam Ward retired, I guess Carolina has not had a good tendy situation going on.
They've kind of been. Like, because Freddie Anderson's been there for a number of years now, but you're right. Like, since Cam Ward, and it's kind of like in Ottawa since Anderson, you know, they've been bumbling around. But I think that the Islanders are set up favorably for the first round. I don't think they're catching the New York Rangers for first place overall.
No.
Mathematically, maybe it's possible. I don't know. They trail them by 5 points in the standings. They each have, what, 4 games left? So, you know, I guess it could be possible. I don't think it's happening.
No.
So it looks like they're finishing second in the Metro. And this Eastern Conference race is super interesting. It's been was described as a turtle race. I think I heard it somewhere. And every team, you know, there's one spot available, and there's realistically, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams chasing it. Mm-hmm. You got the Islanders who, as of press time, are in the final spot. Or they're sitting in. So I guess there's 2 spots, my apologies, to be clinched. Third in the Metro, and then the second wild card. So New York, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Washington, and Philadelphia are all right there. And so this is going to be a super interesting week to watch these teams and see who sort of comes out. And Pittsburgh's been hot. I mean, what are they? Man, they've had such an up and down season, and then they move a guy like Guentzel to Carolina and whatever else they've done.
And the guys that they got back have performed well. Like Bunting scored the game winner the other night, right? In overtime. So it's that's the thing. A team like Pittsburgh, right? Full of veteran professional hockey players, always going to be there. And you got to think like a guy like Crosby doesn't have a whole lot of cracks at the cup left, and he's going to put a team. Yeah, put that team on his back, right? And he's going to go
He has. Yeah. I mean, he's got 40 on the season so far. He's 36 years old. I think he's the, I don't know, about the only, but one of the only guys to have scored 40 at age 36 plus kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not even Gretzky did that, right? So, but yeah, like as far as that race goes, the Islanders, again, another team that's just been up and down. They've had terrible losing streaks. And you think, oh, they're out of it. But they're not out of it because this group of five teams or whatever it is, they just, nobody can seem to pull away.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey was with them, but they've really faded as well. And the Flyers, they were sitting in that third spot in the Metro for a long time. But now they've lost, seven out of the last whatever. Like, I forget the exact number, but they've been losing a lot lately, which is not what you want to be doing at this time of the year.
No.
But, Washington, Pittsburgh, Detroit's kind of come on a little bit here, and it looks like maybe they're sitting in that second wild card right now.
Yeah.
But again, like Pittsburgh, Washington, Philly are all just right there with them. So,
well, and the other team that has been kind of laying in the weeds and has been on a real heater as of late is the Tampa Lightning, who before they lost their last had won a whole boatload in a row. And like, again, veteran team, guys who have been there, guys who were around for those back-to-back cups. And
third trip to the final even,
Right. Yeah. So those guys are going to be there. And those, like, that's not a team that I would want to play in the first round of the playoffs.
No, not at all. So as a wild card team, yeah, like, good luck with that. Boston or whoever might be coming in at that spot. Because, the Rangers, they've been my kind of pick to come out of the East in general, and they are kind of playing right now. Like, I mean, they're on like the President's Trophy path kind of thing, which maybe that's good luck, bad luck, hard to say. But I think that the Rangers are the team to get through in the East when's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, though, right? Tampa, that's the thing is, like, if Tampa's a wild card, that I wouldn't take them lightly at all.
It's interesting, though, like there is a lot of certainly a lot of uncertainty in the East, and the playoff picture in the West has sort of materialized and I think is getting pretty close to being locked in.
Like the wild cards aren't clinched yet or anything.
Right.
But I think it's safe to say that Vegas and Nashville are the two wild card teams.
Right.
That said, Vegas might leap LA and go third in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And then, LA becomes a wild card team. That could happen.
I think it's going to be tough.
But I think
though,
St. Louis is too far behind.
St. Louis, Minnesota. I think St. Louis is too far behind. I think Minnesota, I don't think, is mathematically possible.
They were technically eliminated, I believe.
Yeah. So, Minnesota apparently still has.
Oh, okay. There's
Minnesota still has a chance. They could overtake LA or Vegas for that final wild card spot if Minnesota wins out and LA and Vegas both lose out. But
we'll see about that. But yeah.
Yeah.
Vegas plays tonight, so if Vegas wins, I guess that means Minnesota's done.
Correct. So, yeah, interesting. You mentioned in the first part of the show that you were at the game last week against Calgary, your Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
Clinched their spot.
I was starting to feel like maybe I was the problem. Because
Do you get that a lot?
It's my fifth or sixth game that I went to this year. They've lost all of them. They finally won a game that I went to. So, they broke the curse of co-host Tom. And I couldn't be happier about that. No, but they clinched. And while clinching, they eliminated Calgary. In doing so. And so I attended the game with listener Aaron of Wolseley, who is a bit of a closet Flames fan. you know, but
there's a few of those guys around in Winnipeg.
Yeah. I mean, he's originally from Alberta, so I think it's kind of come with him. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I think he passed it on to one of his kids. What are you gonna do? We would like to thank Aaron for listening all the time because he's big fan of the show, big listener. And so anyway, thanks for the tickets to the game. That was great.
Thanks for the tickets. Sorry about your Calgary allegiance, but hey, what are you gonna do?
That's the way she goes.
Yeah. Well, and so then, like, hot off the heels of that, the Jets, I don't know if they drove 8 hours down I-90 to go to Minnesota or St. Paul, but they kind of almost put the Wild season to bed too, which is great because there's that.
And in doing so, that was the season series sweep of the Wild.
Which you also like to see. Yeah. I don't know if you watched that game, but Michael Russo of The Athletic was still going on and on about Logan Stanley, and somebody else was giving Kaprizov the business too. And
there was no Hartman in that game because he was suspended for yet another bonehead maneuver he did, which I think he threw a stick on the ice or something.
Yeah, class act.
From the bench, I mean, like,
it was a real class act, that guy.
Yeah. But I'm sure Michael Russo will spin it that, you know, he's the victim for sure.
Oh, he was. Yeah.
I did watch that game, and I actually had a pretty proud Papa moment watching it because I actually listened to most of it on the radio, but I was watching part of it with my daughter who's, you know, three, and she was like, you know, she's like, what team are we cheering for kind of thing? And I tell her which color we like and whatever. Minnesota had those green North Stars retro unis going.
Such a beautiful jersey.
She's like, I like the green team. And so she was pretty stoked on watching it. I was like, right on. Cause she was like, yeah, told you know, her mom. She's like, I'm going to watch hockey with dad and I like the green team and blah, blah, blah. Right. And so I was like, nice.
There you go. Raising them right. Yeah. Raising them right.
Well, we'll have to work on her liking that green team kind of thing, but you know what you do.
What are you going to do?
But yeah, liking them coming into the, like, they, so now they've won as of, you know, airtime here. They've won three in a row. They snapped that. Last time we were on, they were in their losing skid. And so now they've snapped that. They've got three in a row. They had given up more than 2-7 games in a row. Now they've, you know, they tightened the belt, if you will, and have.
Yeah, you know, I think that I really, really liked what I saw, especially in that game against Minnesota. Like, I really, really dig in the line combinations right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the game against Calgary, Gabe Vilardi picked up a hattie. And that was really nice to see him kind of get going because, you know, he has been hurt off and on throughout the year, but coming back from this most recent injury, the issue with his enlarged spleen, he was looking maybe a little bit tentative, which honestly, understandable, and was looking a little bit rusty, but man, that line of him and Shifley and Ehlers kind of firing on all cylinders right now, really liking what's going on there. And then
it's a nice combo. And then actually Connor has played pretty decently with Monahan
and Toffoli,
so that's
right?
Nice to see too. Yeah. And with Nino Niederreiter out, they put Toffoli on the wing with Big Lousy and Appleton and I mean, like, that's probably worked out all right. I don't mind that. I don't know that that's the most ideal spot for Toffoli, but...
No, I think that, you know, come playoff time, he's going to be playing on that second line with Monahan and Connor, presumably. Yeah. And, man, the game against Minnesota, the fourth line, just beautiful. Nemestikov and Barron and Iafallo. I have really come to appreciate Alex Iafallo. You know, he doesn't always show up on the stat sheet as much as you think that he might, but man, he's good. He's a good defensive guy.
He makes an impact every time he's on the ice, for sure. Because he's got a real good stick, and he's just such a good puck hunter, if you will.
Yeah, very, very much so. I got something to say about Alex Iafallo, but we got to take a break. And when we come back, I'll tell you about, I had a couple of Jets sightings in the wild. And I'll tell Tom,
I look forward to him.
Yeah, they're regular people just like you and I, doing regular people things. It's awesome.
We'll come back to that, but we got to hit another song here. We're going to go with, let's go with Sturgill Simpson and his cover of Nirvana's In Bloom. We just kind of marked the 30-year anniversary of Life Without Kurt. You know, it was April 5th, I think it was, 94, when he passed away. So, here's a Nirvana cover by Sturgill Simpson.
Send kids for food where the changes move. Spring is here. Reproductive plan. He's a wonder, likes all our pretty songs. Likes to sing alone and likes to shoot his gun, but you don't know what it means. You don't know what it means to love someone.
All right, that was Sturgill Simpson, his cover of In Bloom, the classic Nirvana song off Nevermind. Right here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show, UMFM 101.5 in Winnipeg. We got the funding drive coming up. Should we start with talking about that? Or actually, maybe before we get to that, Jared, I do want to hear about, you teased it right before the song, couple of sightings out in the Jets in Wild. We just talked about the Jets in the Wild. Now the Jets in the Wild.
Well,
sightings for you over the last couple days. What do you got?
So it was kind of interesting, right? Because the game last week kind of wrapped up the current homestand, and then they went to Minnesota, and then they've got games against Nashville, Colorado, Dallas before road trip before coming back home to finish off the season with two here. And so it was interesting because they went to Minnesota, they played in St. Paul on the weekend. But instead of going to Nashville, the team made the decision to come back to Winnipeg, get a little bit more home cooking, I guess, sleep in your own bed. Also, they didn't want them to be in Nashville for too long because Nashville's got a bit of a reputation as a party town. So all of this to be said is go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, plus there's probably, you know, there was a lot of ice to be cleared out of the gutter in front of your house over the weekend, that kind of thing. So
telling me that they got guys to do that for them if they got gutters, right?
Regular people.
Yeah. Well, so last night at a local grocery store, stopped on the way home, get a couple of ingredients, last minute ingredients for the old hectic Sunday supper. What are we making? And who should I see but Mr. Alex Iafallo in the express checkout line, picking up a couple items of his own, and walked by him, and I was just like, good game yesterday. And he just kind of gave a nod, right? You know, the thing is,
are we talking local Safeway here?
Not talking that local Safeway, but maybe another local-ish Safeway, right? You know, it's just regular guys out there doing their things. And
let me guess what he had.
I don't want to bug him, right? I don't want to bug him. I didn't see what he had. I'm not being like, hey, I follow.
Is it one of the chickens, the ready to take home chickens?
Hey, I follow. You get in on that 2-for-1 dad's cookies over there? What's going on?
Yeah.
So, you know what? Like, he's just doing his thing. And he acknowledged. He just kind of gave a nod. And yeah. So then that one was good. And I went home and I told Ethan. And he's just like, whoa. And that's exactly how he sounds. And then this morning, even better, this morning, driving Lily to school. And we're coming down Grosvenor in the River Heights area. And who should I see coming out of? Yeah.
Nick Ehlers.
Co-host was Tom it? Knows. Yes. Coming out of.
I know
of,
where Nick lives. I mean, vaguely. I have coming, a rough idea.
But what's great about it, so he's coming out of the dry cleaner, stack of suits on one arm. Walking a little white dog on the other, on the other, and we pulled up and we're sitting at the light and I'm like, "Hey, that's Nick Ehlers," and Lily's like, "Huh? What?"
Yeah,
I'm like, "From the Jets." She's like, "Oh yeah, yeah." She's like, "That's 2 days in a row," and I said, "They're regular people, just like you and I."
I mean, how often are you getting a stack of suits dry clean, Jared?
Well, I can't remember the last time I had a stack of suits, let alone a stack of suits to dry clean, let alone dry cleaned my only suit. So there you go. I got two suits. I actually got two suits. Two does not count as a stack, though, I think.
No, I don't think it's a stack. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, the reason I know the vague whereabouts of Nick Ehlers' place of residence is because listener Tim lives in the same zip code.
Okay.
Area codes here. And he's sees him out walking that little white dog. So
yeah. Looked like a nice Ehlers seems like a pretty good guy. Looked like a nice dog too. So
there you go.
So as you mentioned, Pledgerama, it's coming up.
Yep.
It's fast upon us. So 2 short weeks from today on April 22nd, we'll be doing our Pledgerama show, but it is UMFM's annual funding drive. However, this is the first time we've done it in 4 years. So we took a break over the pandemic. Didn't really feel that it was appropriate to be asking folks for money when a lot of folks were kind of struggling sort of all over the place because of the whole shutdown. And anyways, things are back, and we are back with Pledgerama. We've got some really cool merch this year. And I want to say that we have some good ideas cooking for Talkin' Hockey, some incentives. Mm-hmm. I found some really sweet Winnipeg Jets bookmarks from 1995, 1996.
Nice.
So you can probably figure if you donate to this program, and we do have a donation so far. If you donate to these programs, you might be able to get a pair or get your mitts on one of these bookmarks. And
nice.
Like features such Jets luminaries as Mike Eastwood.
Oh,
and Darren Shannon, Tim Shevelday,
all the stars,
Captain Chris King, Dave Manson, it's just when you think reading, you think Winnipeg Jets superstars from 1995. There is a Keith Tkachuk one, and there is a Teemu Selanne one, and there is an Alexei Zhamnov one, and I know that those are high ticket items, so. Get your pennies rolled and get them coming in. But
we'll definitely cook up a few other ideas of what we're gonna do because that time is fast approaching. So we'll have our fundraiser show on our Pledgerama show on April 22nd, Monday
April 22nd.
The 22nd.
And word is it's gonna be live baby.
Yeah.
Co-host Tom, right here in the UMFM environment.
Yeah, Mondays are tough, but this one's gonna work. So
there you go.
Yeah. What was I gonna? I wanted to give the listeners a couple updates too.
Oh yes.
And I don't know if this entirely ties into Pledgerama, but maybe a little bit. So I don't know if you are familiar, we're a reader of Mad Magazine and their Department of Corrections or whatever, but we always get a couple things wrong, but
I can't imagine.
Yeah. But this isn't even, I'm actually, see, the problem is I totally forgot what I was going to correct myself on.
Well, but we can correct that next week.
I had stated a fact on a previous episode, and it was, and then I later learned that that was, you know, completely wrong. So I fact checked myself and then
I forgot what the fact
was that I was going to correct. So
there you go.
Let us know if you've come up with any discrepancies in the facts that we're talking here. But remember a couple of weeks ago I had gone viral?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
How's that working for you?
An update. I haven't seen a dime yet. So,
wow.
But that video is up to 746,000 plays.
What happens?
It's been shared 25,000 times.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild.
A little crazy.
What happens when we hit a million?
I don't know. Maybe that's when I start to see the money come in. And
yeah.
That will be our pledge from Instagram.
There you go.
So we'll give them a bookmark, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're not getting one of the good ones.
Yeah. But what I will say is that the Instagram, if you follow, it's at Talkin' Hockey Podcast, you know, with the underscores there. We'll start updating Pledgerama stuff. We'll get some information out there. But quickly, I mean, I know we're not there yet, but let's just give a, like, how can listeners donate? What can they do?
Well, right now, we are taking pre-pledges, but honestly, we take donations throughout the year. So if you want to support now or you want to support later, we're still going to hook you up with stuff. But this is a focused effort running April 19th through the 26th. You can go to umfm.com/donate to make your pledge. We accept payment via credit card, obviously, PayPal, you can e-transfer us, or if you want to come and make a donation in pledge, or if you want to come and make a donation in person, we will also take cash or check. And so there's a whole slew of different kinds of incentives for all sorts of different levels, starting at $25 is kind of the first official level, up to and including $250 donations. But honestly, if you donate, we'll make sure you go away with something. Or if you don't want incentives, you can also request a tax receipt, which is a thing for some folks. And if you go to, like I said, umfm.com/donate / incentives, you can see a picture of all the great merch, or umfm.com/donate/pledgerama. You can read about why we do this, why we didn't do this for the past 4 years, some of the things that UMFM is providing that kind of set us apart from your average Winnipeg radio station, and you know, kind of give you that little nudge. But honestly, any amount helps. And this is like the one time a year that we reach out to our listeners and supporters and ask for a little bit of help back. So it's an important thing, and something that I think, especially in this day and age of, you know, sort of not so independent media, not so social, social media, you know, things like campus and community radio stations that support the local community, play local music. It's a really important thing, right? And
yep.
It's a very, very special part of this local musical ecosystem. And I think it's pretty good. I mean, I might be biased, you know.
Might be biased.
I've been here for a while.
Last week we had all local artists that we played on the show, and we often have a local Ben. We play a lot of CanCon on the show.
Mm-hmm.
This week, not so much. We've got one CanCon song coming for you here. I think we're probably just about wrapping up here, so we'll intro that. But yeah, we, as always, thank you for tuning in. We'll catch you next time, and we're going to go out on the Trans-Canada Highwaymen, who are kind of like a Canadian supergroup of...
I would say they're a pretty supergroup of Canadians,
older
for
statesmen
sure.
of the Canadian rock scene or whatever.
Yeah.
They just came to town. Didn't go to the show.
Nor did I.
Totally forgot about it, but I heard it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are we going to play again?
On the bubblegum pop hit from Andy Kim, Rock Me Gently.
Rock Me Gently. Oh, we were gonna use that to segue or to talk about the Matt Rempe New Jersey Devils New York Rangers full line brawl.
You know what though?
Various other rockings.
I don't know if we can do that justice, but seriously, go and look at the opening minute and a half of that game. It is like poetry in motion watching these guys. Like, somebody needs to set that to some classical music because they look like they're pairing off to dance, and then they really do dance. It's awesome.
You know, a lot of everybody's had their say about it, you know, in terms of talking hockey, talking heads or whatever. And so I guess we don't really need to add our two cents, but I am surprised at some of the takes coming out of it. For example, Jeff Merrick, a guy who...
he's been around. He's been around for a while.
But, I mean, he's always on the side of, like, not into fighting. We got to change all the rules of the NHL. We got to do... You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of... He's always about change for sometimes no reason at all. But, you know, change whatever. Anyway, he was actually, as far as I understood...
he was okay with it?
With that. Yeah. And I was like, okay. All right. I just think Matt Rempe, he's at the moment the king of New York.
Yeah. He's kind of like the folk hero that that we didn't know we needed in our lives again. But I enjoy watching Matt Rempe. I hope I hope that, you know, he slows down at some point soon.
Because, well, exactly. But, he's got to. And also he needs a montage like Youngblood training in the barn.
Oh yeah.
You know, with his fierce dad and one-eyed brother or whatever it was to teach him how to fight, because Rempe, as much as he throws him, he takes him.
Oh yeah. Yeah, maybe we could commission the surviving members of Survivor to write a song for it, or it could get somebody to cover Survivor. Rural Alberta Advantage actually does a really good version of Eye of the Tiger. Speaking of covers, have you ever
maybe
heard
we
that
should
one?
Be playing that.
Well, you know, too late.
Next time.
But you
Next
should go time. Listen to that one, and maybe that needs to be the Matt Rempe training montage, little Eye of the Tiger. Anyways, we gotta go.
We gotta go.
We gotta go.
So here's some Trans-Canada Highwaymen on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show, and keep your stick on the ice.